Tonight, President Biden issuing sweeping new vaccination and mask rules for all federal workers, urging Americans to overcome what he calls the pandemic of the unvaccinated. The president before the cameras late today to announce that the White House will require more than 4 million federal employees to get their vaccination or get tested every week. Plus, the question on masks that prompted this heated exchange. This as the U.S. now averages nearly 62,000 new cases a day, a surge fueled by the Delta variant. Major companies issuing their own vaccine requirements, including Facebook, Google, and Netflix. And the four-day music festival now underway in Chicago. Tens of thousands of people every day, raising fears of a possible super spreader event. Also tonight, severe storms moving into the Northeast as we come on the air. Tornado watches at this hour from Maryland to New Jersey. At least 4 confirmed tornadoes touching down in Wisconsin. Ginger Z tracking it all. Overseas tonight, the remarkable moment at the Summer Olympics with Simone Biles cheering her on. America's Suni Lee wins gold in the women's all-around competition. In the pool, swimmer Caleb Dressel winning by a fraction of a second. Tonight, the American pole vaulter among 24 new COVID cases inside the Olympic bubble, James Longman in Tokyo. Billionaire Trevor Milton charged with fraud, the founder of an electric truck company that prosecutors say never produced a single electric truck. Prosecutors claiming this video gave the false impression the truck was actually drivable. Could millions of Americans be on the verge of losing their homes? The moratorium on evictions set to expire in 2 days. President Biden now calling on Congress to take immediate action. And the frightening crash right here in New York, the bus slamming into a bridge, more than 12 people injured.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it is great to have you with us on this Thursday night. I'm Cecilia Vega, in for David, and we do begin with President Biden using the power of his office, hoping to convince the unvaccinated to get those shots. The White House announcing today that more than 4 million federal employees will have to show proof of vaccination or follow strict testing protocols. The president calling it an American tragedy that people are dying who do not need to die. And he is hoping to convince private companies to follow suit. Google, Facebook, Netflix, and others already asking their employees to be vaccinated. The surge in cases may already be convincing some who are reluctant to be vaccinated. The U.S. now averaging over 600,000 shots a day in the past week alone, up 18%. Tonight, 189 million people have received at least one dose, nearly 67% of people 12 and older. And a big test this weekend. The Lollapalooza Music Festival in Chicago expecting 100,000 people a day. And now new questions tonight about booster shots. The president weighing in on that as well. And ABC's Alex Spreads leads us off from Chicago.
Tonight, with the U.S. nearing COVID case numbers similar to last summer's surge, President Biden putting the pressure on federal workers to get vaccinated.
Every federal government employee will be asked to attest to their vaccination status. Anyone who does not attest or is not vaccinated will be required to mask no matter where they work.
The requirement impacting more than 4 million workers, including federal contractors and members of the military, the U.S. government, the largest employer in the country. Biden pushing the private sector hard to do more on mandates.
We all want our lives to get back to normal. And fully vaccinated workplaces will make that happen more quickly and more successfully.
The president also urging states to give $100 vaccine incentives to each person who gets a shot. His announcement coming as the pace of vaccinations picks up, with over 2.7 million new shots administered just in the last week, up nearly 18% from the previous week. Still, the U.S. is now averaging nearly 62,000 new cases a day. Major companies like Facebook, Google, and Netflix taking action, all announcing they will require most employees to be vaccinated. Walt Disney and Disneyland reinstating their mask policies starting Friday for everyone age 2 and up, regardless of vaccination status. Disney is the parent company of ABC. Today, Arkansas's governor reinstating its public health emergency, saying he will call a special session to overturn a ban on mask mandates for K through 12 public schools. The state also asking the White House to send a surge response team. And in Chicago, the four-day music festival Lollapalooza kicking off just hours ago. About 100,000 people expected each day. Those attending the festival needing proof of a vaccine or a negative COVID test to get in.
I got vaccinated. I made sure the people that I'm with are vaccinated. I'm going to have a mask with me.
The Delta variant is spreading through the U.S. The number of hospitalizations nearly matching where they were last August, as over 33,000 received treatment, 10,000 more than a week ago. Our Trevor Ault was at Florida's Tampa General, where nearly all of the COVID patients are unvaccinated and the average age is in the 40s.
Feels like it's an impending storm. I don't think there's anything that's going to, there's no off-ramp to this getting worse, unfortunately.
And as we learn more about breakthrough infections, the CDC now recommending vaccinated people be tested if they come in contact with someone with COVID, even if they have no symptoms. And Pfizer making the case for booster shots, revealing new data shows after 6 months, their vaccine's efficacy dropped from 96% to 84%. That data from March, before the Delta variant became the dominant strain. But some health experts saying not so fast.
I still do think booster shots may be needed for frail elderly, certainly for the immunocompromised. But I don't believe right now, based on the data, that kind of broad general population is going to need a booster shot.
And Alex Presence with us live from outside Lollapalooza there in Chicago. Alex, health officials are saying they are taking precautions to ensure everyone's safety there, but there are still serious concerns about possible outbreaks.
Yes, it's the authorities here taking this very, very carefully. They are very concerned. As you heard me say, to get into the festival here, attendees must provide proof of a negative test or a vaccine record. The Biden administration is stressing that right now this appears to be a pandemic among the unvaccinated and that it is a very real concern. Cecilia?
Very real concern indeed, Alex. Thank you. You want to go to the White House now, and ABC's Rachel Scott. Rachel, we saw President Biden today once again in a mask, but it was a question about a statement that he made earlier this year that anyone who got vaccinated would no longer have to wear a mask that really seemed to get under his skin. Let's watch.
In May, you made it sound like vaccine was the ticket to losing the mask forever.
And that is true at the time, because I thought there were people who weren't going to understand that getting vaccinated made a gigantic difference. And what happened was a new variant came along. They didn't get vaccinated. It was spread more rapidly, and more people were getting sick. That's the difference.
President clearly not happy there, Rachel. He says the recommendations are changing as the science evolves, but the White House realizes they have a messaging problem here.
Yes, Cecilia, and you can see it from his response. The president is frustrated by this, but there is no way around this. This is a clear reversal. You already have Republicans today calling it an overreach. And the president knows that the success of his administration will be judged in large part by his response to this virus. He told me tonight that if he could wave a wand and have every single American vaccinated, then we would be out of the woods. But the reality is there is more work to do, Cecilia.
Rachel Scott at the White House tonight. Thank you, Rachel. Next tonight, the tornado watch out this hour and the severe weather threat across the Midwest and the Northeast. 65 million Americans on alert, including D.C., Philadelphia, and right here in New York City. A state of emergency in Wisconsin after powerful storms in Oshkosh and at least four confirmed tornadoes and EF1 ripping apart buildings in Jefferson County. ABC's chief meteorologist, Ginger Z, of course, tracking it all. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, Cecilia. A particularly dangerous situation tornado warning, something we reserve often for the plains or southeast, happening in central New Jersey tonight, just over Trenton. That's just one of the cells that looks super nasty in this tornado watch that includes much of Pennsylvania, Delaware, and southern New Jersey as well. That severe thunderstorm watch goes all the way back through Ohio, where we've already seen a reported tornado earlier today, an ugly looking line headed into northern Kentucky and parts of West Virginia. That's all along this cold front that, yes, will bring cool, especially for late July temperatures for the Northeast and Great Lakes. But we are going to sandwich and squeeze that super heat, excessive heat warnings all the way to the Gulf Coast. Memphis, Cecilia, tomorrow will feel like 110.
Gotta be hot out there. I know you'll be tracking it for GMA tomorrow. Ginger, thank you. We're going to turn out to the Olympics and Team USA. The surprising victory for gymnast Suni Lee stepping in for Simone Biles. And in the pool, swimmer Caleb Dressel winning by a mere fraction of a second, setting a new Olympic record. But those COVID dangers still loom. An American pole vaulter, the latest now to test positive. ABC's James Longman has the latest from Tokyo.
Tonight, a stunning triumph in Tokyo as 18-year-old Minnesota native Sunny Lee takes home the gold medal in the women's gymnastics all-round competition. She's now the fifth American in a row to win gold in the event.
This medal definitely means a lot to me because there was a point in time where I wanted to quit and I just didn't think I would ever get here.
Lee vaulted to victory with Simone Biles cheering her on from the stands after she left the event to focus on her mental health. Biles tweeting overnight, "The outpouring love and support I've received has made me realize I'm more than my accomplishments and gymnastics, which I never truly believed before."
Gets that control back.
Wow.
Biles' absence opened the door for Lee and the 23 other women in the competition. Lee is the youngest member of the U.S. women's gymnastics team and the first ever Hmong American Olympian. And with her victory, is now not only the face of her community, but the new face of U.S. women's gymnastics.
I can't find a word to express it, how happy we are, how important that was to me and my family and the whole Hmong community throughout the world.
Today, Lee tweeting, "The people I do it all for, I love you all." And in the pool, a new Olympic record set by Florida native Caleb Dressel.
Dressel trying to hang on down the stretch here.
The 24-year-old winning his second gold medal by 6/100ths of a second in the 100-meter free. Afterwards, Dressel emotional, celebrating his victory with his family, watching thousands of miles away.
Love you too. Thank you, guys.
But among all the medals and celebrations, COVID still looms. 24 new cases have been reported from inside the Olympic bubble, bringing that total to 198. U.S. pole vaulter Sam Kendricks is one of them. It's been an agonizing run for the world champion, who is now the seventh U.S. athlete to test positive, and he'll now miss competing in these Olympic Games.
A heartbreaking break. And James, of course, is joining us now from Tokyo. James, Team USA now at 38 medals after that stunner from Sunny Lee. The U.S. currently in the lead. Who do you have your eye on now?
Well, Cecilia, the U.S. has a few opportunities to increase the medal count in the pool swimming finals today. Track and field events begin today as well. And the U.S. women's soccer team, they go up against the Netherlands in the first of the knockout rounds. Cecilia?
Well, I'll be watching closely, James. Thank you. We're going to turn now to the billionaire founder of an electric truck who promised to revolutionize the industry, pleading not guilty to fraud charges. But prosecutors say Trevor Milton, quote, lied about nearly every aspect of that business, including this promotional video for the company's trucks, the astonishing claims about what it shows. And prosecutors now say those lies cost investors hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Ariel Reshef.
He's the billionaire tycoon who promised to revolutionize the trucking industry with vehicles powered by hydrogen and electricity.
This truck is by far the most state-of-the-art truck ever built in history. This thing fully functions and works, which is really incredible.
But prosecutors say the trucks built by Trevor Milton's company, Nikola, didn't work at all. That Milton lied about nearly every aspect of the business.
Milton tweeted a video where the truck appeared to be driving, but actually it was brought to the top of a hill and just allowed to roll down.
Prosecutors claiming the truck's door even had to be, quote, taped up for the video so it wouldn't fall off. In fact, the Nikola prototype was allegedly untested and missing critical parts like gears, motors, and a control system. Still, Milton convinced investors he pulled off a breakthrough.
For every doubter out there that said that there's no way this is true, how can that be possible? We've done it.
Milton allegedly scammed investors out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. The complaint charges some even lost their retirement savings. In court today, he pleaded not guilty to securities and wire fraud.
Do you have anything to say about the charges?
We have a statement. Check it out.
Cecilia, Milton's attorneys say he is innocent, calling this federal case faulty and incomplete, adding that from the beginning, this was an investigation in search of a crime. Milton has been released on $100 million bond. Cecilia? Ariel, thank you. We're going to turn now to the dire situation for millions of American families as a pandemic-era eviction moratorium ends on Saturday. The Supreme Court has signaled it can't be extended without an act of Congress. But with Congress heading toward their summer break, that possibility appears to be slim. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami.
Millions of Americans who, because of the pandemic, are having trouble paying the rent are watching the clock run out tonight on rules that keep them from getting evicted from their homes. If no one in Washington does anything about it in time, the federal hold on evictions will expire on Saturday. Giovanni Bush is a lawyer in Florida who says he's working with hundreds of renters who could get thrown out into the street.
A lot of people that are facing eviction are very much in the process
of not knowing what to do and trying to figure out where their kids will go to school in the next couple of months if they're going to be evicted.
The Trump administration put the eviction moratorium in place last summer, and public health officials at the CDC in Atlanta have extended it three times, saying last month that this was their final extension of the moratorium. Adding insult to injury, money that Congress has set aside to help renters in trouble isn't getting to these Americans. Of the $47 billion, only about $3 billion has made its way to renters through their states and cities. In New York State, for example, they've handed out almost none of this money.
Democratic lawmakers in Congress are trying to rush together a plan that would extend the hold on evictions until the end of the year, but they're running out of time. The House goes on recess tomorrow, and anything they come up with would have to pass through the Senate by Saturday. Cecilia?
Clock is definitely ticking. Okay, Steve, thank you. And we have learned tonight that the first group of Afghan interpreters and contractors, those crucial allies who helped Americans through our longest war, are now on their way to the U.S. They and their family members will arrive in just a matter of hours. As many as 18,000 Afghans could qualify for special immigrant visas. A facility to house some of them is now going up in Fort Lee, Virginia. When we come back, the bus crash here in New York City, more than a dozen people injured, and pilots warned to be on the lookout for someone flying around in a possible jetpack.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems. It's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we've got a frightening brush crash to tell you about here in New York City. Surveillance video showing cars colliding in the Bronx. One veers into the bus. The bus then slams into a bridge. At least 14 people injured, including the driver. The crash under investigation right now. Take a look at this. Pilots flying in Los Angeles have been warned to be on the lookout for someone in a jetpack. A pilot reporting seeing the so-called jetpack man while approaching LAX last night. He was flying at about 5,000 feet. Multiple jetpack sightings have been reported near the airport last year, and that has prompted an FAA and FBI investigation. And to the index, actress Scarlett Johansson suing Disney over the release of her new movie, Black Widow. Johansson accusing the company of breach of contract for simultaneously releasing the movie in theaters and on Disney+. Her attorneys say the decision hurt ticket sales and her compensation tied to box office earnings. The movie taking in nearly $320 million globally. Disney, which of course owns ABC, releasing a statement saying there is no merit whatsoever to this filing. The lawsuit is especially sad and distressing in its callous disregard for the horrific and prolonged global effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we have a passing to note tonight. American inventor and pitchman Ron Popeil has died. He was the king of the infomercials, and there were a lot of them, selling everything from the Veg-O-Matic to Mr. Microphone to the Pocket Fisherman. His signature phrases include set it and forget it. And of course, you've heard this one, but wait, there's more. Ron Popeil was 86. And finally tonight, America Strong, the husband and wife celebrating their anniversary with a special showing at the movies. Drew and Kayla Gottfried from Pleasant Hill, Oregon, were college sweethearts. Engaged in 2006, married a year later, it all went perfectly until they went to watch their wedding video. The newlyweds were told the whole ceremony had been accidentally erased. Shocked and heartbroken, talking about it often over the years and every year on their anniversary, telling their children they wish they could all watch it together. Finally, 14 years later, Drew got a call saying a VHS tape had been found in their church's basement. It was their wedding video. So on their anniversary this month, Drew had a surprise for Kayla. He brought her to the movies. She didn't know he'd asked the theater to play their wedding video instead. She's about to see the video she thought was lost forever. As the lights go down, Kayla recognizes the voices. Overcome. Kayla with a kiss for Drew, her head on his shoulder, and tonight, that husband with this message.
As much as you can, be there and be with people. Just enjoy your time with your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Drew Gottfried.
For all of us who have lost our wedding videos, Kayla and Drew, thank you. You've given us, me, some hope. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm Cecilia Vega. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.